Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I feel extraordinarily good that my supporters over 40 years will be able to evaluate what they have come up with. And I don't have any fear at all, politically or personally, what they come up with.
Congressman Charles Rangel, Dean of the New York Political Delegation in Congress since 1970, responding there to a House panel's finding that there is, quote, substantial reason to believe, end quote, that Rangel violated ethics rules. The finding sets the stage for the first House ethics trial since 2002. It could result in anything from a rebuke to a recommendation that Rangel be expelled from Congress. And the finding comes as Rangel faces a spirited primary field. Joining us to discuss the political fallout is WNYC's Ozzie Pabra and Patricia Murphy, Capitol Hill Bureau Chief of Politics Daily. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's start with you, Patricia. Outline the charges for us and the next steps in the ethics process.
Sure. Well, what is interesting about this process, they actually have not revealed what the charges are. The committee will reveal those charges next Thursday when they hold a formal public hearing. But we know that the charges are related to accusations against the congressman, related to his rent control apartments in New York. He has a villa in the Dominican Republic, which he may not have paid proper taxes on. They're really a slew of charges against him. The committee didn't announce what those are yesterday, but they will announce them next week.
So when they announce the charges, do we know the schedule for them to move ahead with a trial?
We don't know exactly the schedule. We don't know when things will happen. We know when they won't happen, basically. So they'll meet next week. Then within 15 days, Rangel can respond to those charges. But we run into the House calendar, which means that the House is out of session for most of August and the first part of September. So the next big event, and meaning a trial that features Rangel defending himself, that wouldn't happen probably until September. But when that happens, it will be just a spectacle of incredible proportions. The last time, I know you said this, the last time the Hills had a trial like this was in 2002, and that was for Jim Traficant, and it turned into an absolute media circus. Rangel has been very defiant in the face of these charges, so it's expected that he will appear, that he will mount a very vigorous defense, and it will be, again, with the looming midterm elections coming up, so there are a lot of political ramifications for him and for his fellow Democrats.
Now, as you know, he faces a primary on September 14th. Are we talking, could there actually be an exact overlap between his primary and the trial?
There are rules in the Ethics Committee really to protect members from influencing their elections. So the committee wouldn't come out with a decision, for example, of finding a conviction. They wouldn't come out with that either 30 days before a primary or 60 days before a general election. So you can sort of work your way backwards. But it's possible that the trial could be gearing up right around the time that that primary is going on. But Congress probably won't be back in session by the 12th. It will be a few days after that. So the trial won't be happening simultaneously.
And what is the talk there in Washington about this? How are other members of Congress responding and sort of the political class?
You know, the Democrats in particular are in an incredible bind in this situation. Rangel is one of the most senior members, and he really, up until this, was one of the most respected members because of his war service and his experience on Capitol Hill. So Democrats are very loyal to him. Nancy Pelosi, in particular, has been extremely loyal to him, and there's been some criticism of her that she's been too loyal to him and should have already nipped this situation in the bud. It's a worst-case scenario for fellow Democrats to have this spectacle of a trial when they have their own re-elections coming up within months. And every Democrat on Capitol Hill will be asked, should Charlie Rangel resign? Do you support him? Do you believe the charges against him? Why aren't you being tougher on corruption? So he has chosen to defend himself and to deny these charges. The reality is he could have resigned from the House. He could have retired. At this point, he's 80 years old. He certainly doesn't have to. He says he's not guilty, but it does put his fellow Democrats in a very difficult situation, and one they absolutely don't want to be in with their own re-elections, very tough re-elections coming up.
Well, let's talk about that. Ozzie Pabra, you, in fact, have already blogged this morning about an email that came out from one of his opponents, Jonathan Tessini, one of his Democratic opponents, making this exact argument. Tell us about that.
Right. He, in the email from Tessini, he basically said, we need to the Democratic Party needs to distance himself from Rangel. He needs to end his campaign. And he made a point of it, saying, you know, we could risk losing, you know, control of the Congress, all for the sake of one man's seat. So he tried to put the onus on Rangel and try to apply pressure from the Democratic Party to say, look, there's too much at stake to sort of hold on to Rangel at this point.
And we are going to take calls on this, particularly if you live in Congressman Rangel's district. Our phone number is 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Give us a call if you live in the district and tell us what you think about this new wrinkle in the ethics charges against Charlie Rangel, whether they are persuasive to you, whether it's changing your mind, what you think. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Now, Ozzy, you spent some time up in this district separately from this latest, finding in the House. But we've known about the allegations against Rangel about his taxes and his rent-stabilized apartment. And, you know, Patricia, I'm not sure if the resonance of having four rent-stabilized apartments really sort of rings in Washington. But, you know, this is sort of the holy grail of New York residents, is to get a rent-stabilized apartment. So having four of them is a bit of a sticky wicket for a member of Congress. But how did people respond in his district?
You know, I walked up and down the street, and I talked to as many people as I could, and instantly, you know, 9 out of 10 people knew the name Rangel and had an opinion about the guy. But some of them, to my surprise, said, look, you know, the guy's old. We sort of want the idea of someone young and energetic. The idea of getting something new and shiny is always fun and exciting. So I was a little bit taken aback by how many people said, you know, didn't necessarily raise the specific ethics charges and the problems against him, but had actually said, you know, he's been there for a really long time. We just want somebody new and energetic.
And what about Rangel himself? I mean, he clearly in his statements yesterday and sort of previously has been very defiant. Do you get a sense from him that he believes he did something wrong, that he has something to hide, or that he actually really believes that everything he did was okay and above board?
Whenever the question gets posed to him, did you do anything wrong? What about the allegations? How's your campaign going in light of this? He always brings it back to, you know, these are media allegations that are raised against me, and you're just trying to make a name for yourself. And he sort of like is very dismissive of the issue when it gets brought to his attention. Now I'm told by people around him that like that this guy's a very proud person, a war veteran, very impressive career in the Congress. And there's a bit of an offense that gets taken when you're asking a very public figure about their personal finances, although it is definitely within the realm of something to debate. He fights back and he tries to dismiss the questions about the allegations.
What about the rest of the New York political establishment? Have we heard yet, for example, from Attorney General Andrew Cuomo running for governor,
who
Governor Patterson? Have any of them weighed in on this?
Not that I've seen. I had reached out to Andrew Cuomo's campaign and
he's in Plattsburgh today, by
yes.
the way.
Yes.
So that well-known media center way, way north in New York.
Yeah. And Andrew Cuomo not one to take a laissez-faire approach to his public image. And his spokesman does a very dutiful job. So I was trying to get a comment from the campaign spokesperson who did not offer a public comment on the issue, despite it being asked of him at least several times by me, and I'm sure other people, and then the state Democratic Party, you know, of which Cuomo sort of leads, did not offer a statement. Also, I had sent emails to them. They had hired just a new consultant to do communications for them. So far, I haven't seen.
Patricia Murphy, Capitol Hill Bureau Chief of Politics Daily, you said that people were going to be asking of every Democratic member of Congress whether they thought the charges were true and whether they thought Rangel should resign. What are the initial responses that you're hearing on that front?
The initial responses are people either not wanting to answer the question or saying, well, let's just give this some time. The charges haven't been made public yet. Let's just see what happens. They're really just buying time for themselves. And really right after this happened, Congress adjourned. They all hopped on planes and got out of Washington as soon as humanly possible. they don't want this to be hanging over their heads. And, you know, you talked about Rangel's defiance. He is the one who asked the Ethics Committee to start this investigation, almost a dare to say, oh, if I've done so many bad things, New York Post, why didn't the Ethics Committee just investigate me? Because Nancy Pelosi had been criticized that the committee had not started an investigation yet. So he's the one who asked for it, ironically.
Right. And credit where credit is due. I mean, it isn't really, you know, most of these charges were came up first in the New York Times, not in the New York Post.
Yes.
So he may be saying New York Post to try to sort of create a discredit. It's the sort of paper of record that first reported many of these things, including the villa and the rent-regulated apartments, if I remember correctly.
Right.
And just, Patricia, before we go to the phones, and we're going to take calls from people who live in Wrangell's district, 212-433-WNYC is the phone number. Before we go to the phone, there was some reports this morning in Politico and elsewhere that there were negotiations up to the last minute to try to reach a settlement. Do you know anything about that?
I do. I've spoken with some sources on background who said, yes, this happened. The committee offered a deal to Wrangell. They didn't say what the deal was, but he rejected it, and he could have avoided a trial if he accepted whatever the punishment was going to be. And he said, absolutely not. Let's go forward. And although publicly he says he doesn't even know what the charges are, so there are different accounts. If you ask Wrangell, he says he is unaware of what anybody's talking about. But people who've been involved in the process said that's not the case. He does know what the charges are. So it really depends on who you ask at that point.
And just to be clear, the settlement didn't involve his agreeing to resign, right? He could have stayed in Congress and issued some kind of apology, or what do we know about the details of that?
We don't know what the offer was. Mm-hmm. There are a series of punishments from a fine to a formal reprimand to censure and to being expelled from the House. That's only happened 5 times in history for a member to be expelled. Jim Trafficant was the last one expelled. But these are very, very serious charges. And Democrats, again, you asked about that, they publicly have not come down on Wrangell. Privately, they all say they want this to go away. So it's a very different public face that the Democrats are trying to present. But everybody remembers in 2006 when Republicans had the Mark Foley sort of specter over their heads, and it blew up in September of 2006, and they lost the House.
That was a different nature of charges, a sex scandal, right?
It's the same timing.
So, okay. Let's take some calls. Burroughs, do I have that right? Burroughs, hi. You're on WNYC.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Did you have a comment?
Well, yeah. My feeling is that the charges that are brought against him are serious in some respects and others not. And because I am a fellow graduate of City University, I think him trying to establish an addition to that college is really commendable.
And let's just clarify that one of the charges that is supposed to be in this document, and as Patricia has and others have pointed out, it hasn't been made public, is that he did a favor for someone who made a donation to this new City College facility.
Yes. When he was chairman of the tax writing committee, he apparently offered a deal to a donor to give them a tax loophole. The donor later made that donation to the university.
So you feel like it's sort of like there's a public good in what he was doing?
Absolutely.
Burroughs?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I feel strongly about that because it is a public university, and it's one of the finest universities in the CUNY system. And I'm a twice graduate of the program there. Regarding his matter of housing in terms of where he lives, because I live in the same development, that is one area that I have a problem with, because a lot of tenants in the complex feels that the owner of the project or of the development are socking it to the tenants with these MCI rent increases, and he's not doing much about that.
And have you voted for Wrangell in the
Absolutely,
past?
Absolutely, yes.
And what do you think you're going to do in the fall?
Well, I think that he will probably work on the things that a lot of the people in the district feel he should be working on. I think this would serve as a wake-up call for him.
So do you think that you might be voting for him?
Absolutely vote for him, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for your call. Let's take another call. Cynthia, hi, in Washington Heights. You're on the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC.
Hi, this is Cynthia. I'm a constituent of Charles Wrangell. He's done amazing things for this district. and I will definitely vote for him. I think the charges against him are the charges you can make to any congressman in that Congress, Republican or Democrat. I see this as a witch hunt. They can't stand the idea of a black man having the Ways and Means Committee, and I'm sure that was the deal they gave him.
Cynthia, it doesn't trouble you that he might not have paid taxes on his villa in the Dominican Republic?
I think he needs a better accountant. People in public life do not handle their own accounting. He needs a better accountant, and that's about it. I know I have complicated taxes. My accountant handles it for me, tells me everything's okay, and then when things go wrong, I have to pay up. That's the situation there.
All right. Thank you for your call, Cynthia. I'm Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer, and we are speaking about the findings about Congressman Charles Rangel with WNYC's Ozzie Pabra and Patricia Murphy, Capitol Hill Bureau Chief of Politics Daily. We're also taking your calls at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Liz from Washington Heights. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I really don't know what I'm going to do in the primary. I've been living in Washington Heights for a very long time. Charlie has been my representative. I think he's a good man in a lot of ways, but I got kind of done with him a couple of election cycles ago when I felt that he really was getting in some ways tired and serving more of the Harlem community and less of the Washington Heights community. So I was excited that there were maybe going to be some other interesting people running against him this cycle, and I just can't bring myself to vote for any of the other people who are running against him. So I was all ready to vote for Charlie again after having not done it for a couple of years. And now this, I just don't know what to do. I think, like the previous caller, a lot of the charges against him are frankly manufactured and are a lot of the same kinds of things that relate to not having a good accountant. But some of the stuff, I got to ask myself, you know.
Liz, what is your hesitation about the other Democrats running against Rangel?
Wow. You know, not totally sure I would say those on the air.
Anything that's family friendly?
I think that there are some issues relating to experience that some of the other opponents don't bring to the table. I think there are some challenges with respect to breaking of laws in the case of one of his opponents that inclines me to not want to vote for him. Being a congressperson is a serious job that requires experience, that requires integrity, that requires seriousness of purpose and great commitment and a tremendous understanding of a broad district and a broad set of constituencies. And I think that Charlie has those things. I think there are some ways in which he's lost touch with some of his constituents and has gotten a little too inside the beltway. But I think in his heart, he actually does understand what people in his district want and need and has largely done a pretty good job of serving that.
All right, Liz, thank you for your call. And Ozzie Pabra, can you tell us a little bit, for those who might not know, who else is running for this seat? Give us a little sort of mini snapshot of each of the candidates.
Sure. The person who's considered the leading contender, arguably, is Assemblyman Adam Clayton Powell. He's the son.
The fourth.
Right. He's the son of the guy that Charlie Rangel beat in order to get into the Congress. Powell has not been known to pass a lot of legislation in the assembly. He was also a city councilman in the mid-90s. He also had some run-ins with the law. Most recently, he had a drunk driving arrest that he fought in court. He was publicly accused of other wrongdoing, but those never actually came to charges or a conviction. But his name has sort of been dragged through the mud a little bit. There is labor activist Jonathan Tessini,
ran for Senate against Hillary Clinton.
Yes,
in the 2006.
Yes,
that's right.
And he was beating the drum. He was a very vociferous anti-war platform. He was pushing at the time. It didn't gain a lot of traction, especially with people gearing up to see Hillary run for the president. There is Vince Morgan, who actually used to work for Rangel in his office for a couple of years. He's now a banker, lives in the district, and he's now running to replace his boss. And there's also Joyce Johnson. Politically, she has been active and was actually an early Obama supporter and helped get him on the ballot in the primary when most New Yorkers, when most of the New York political establishment was still behind Hillary Clinton.
Well, almost everybody,
right?
In fact. Let's take another caller. Jerry from the Upper West Side. Hi. You're on the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. And we're speaking with Ozzie Paber of WNYC, Patricia Murphy of Politics Daily. How are you going to vote in the September primary?
I'm going to look for a credible opponent. I am a little fed up, actually very fed up with Congressman Rangel. I think he is out of touch in his responses to the ethical violations. I mean, it appears as if he does have ethical violations, but more than that, his reaction to it in yelling at the press and being so outraged just gives the appearance that he is in alarm with other powerful fat cat congressmen who don't respect the ethical lines that they're supposed to.
And has this latest finding moved you, or have you been feeling this for a while?
I've been feeling this for a while. I mean, when the New York Times revelations about the multiple rent stabilized apartments came out, he wasn't even remotely sensitive to how it appeared. If I remember correctly, at a press conference, he personally attacked a reporter.
Jerry, we're going to have to leave it there. But thank you very much for your call. And I hope that everyone will continue this conversation on the Brian Lehrer page at WNYC.org. Thanks to both of my guests, Patricia Murphy, the Capitol Hill Bureau Chief of Politics Daily, and WNYC's Ozzie Paber. And by the way, before Brian left on vacation yesterday, and I should mention before these Rangel allegations broke, Ozzie, Bob Hanley, Brian Lehrer, and I recorded the season's inaugural Digesting Politics podcast. So you should go look for that on WNYC.org. We're talking about Xanadu, Cuomo, congestion charging, and a number of other issues in New York politics. Digesting Politics, the 2010 season, has begun. When we come back, Congressman Anthony Weiner talks to us about what happened in the Senate with the Energy and Climate Change Bill.